folks, welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. Bad traffic is a good time for PD because you're in bumper to bumper, and if you can't text and drive, because you shouldn't text and drive, podcast, man, let's go. I always say that reading is breathing in and writing is breathing out, but maybe we can make that even a little bit broader here during the time of COVID and say that consuming is breathing in, creating is breathing out. What are you doing in your free time that you consume? Are you watching Netflix? Are you playing video games? Are you playing board games, reading books, watching TV series? Or what are you creating? What do you do in your free time that is generative? It's great to have things that unwind and just take your brain, you know, fill up that sponge. But what do you do to push things out? Today I'm talking about my brain a lot. I'm going to be very frank and very direct. Some, not trigger warnings, but just some sensitivity notes here. We'll talk about mental health. Very frank conversation about mental health today. So I just wanted to give everybody a heads up to that point. If that's not your bag and if you don't feel comfortable, then this might be the podcast for you. New podcasts drop every Monday. If I remember to push the right buttons on my website, I appreciate those who've reached out and gave me clarification that for the past couple weeks, there was a few issues with that. Sorry about that. There's also a gentleman walking in front of my vehicle. You really can hear this. This is bumper to bumper in D.C. I appreciate you letting me know. New episode drop every Monday. If you like what you're hearing on your favorite podcasting app, feel free to like or subscribe. Or you can shoot me a message on Twitter, @MeehanEDU, and I would love to talk to anybody about teaching at all times. I don't pretend to be the expert. I'm just a guy who's going through it like everybody else. And in today's podcast, I will be very direct about some of the things that I'm going through in that process. I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's education adrenaline, like educational, because it's all about firing students up and changing the game, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, ways that we can get our kids excited and engaged in our classrooms. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush. You can read all about it on the website. First couple of chapters are available on your favorite app for free. Just head to Barnes & Noble or Borders or any of the other ones, Amazon. And if you like what you're seeing and reading, feel free to check out the website. I have a bunch of templates I share there. Try to give as much free away as I can. I'm also a speaker and consultant and writer and researcher and classroom teacher. So, yeah, I keep busy. I tell the kids I have no life and no friends. But today, I'm talking about my life in very real detail. Because when last we spoke, I don't know if you had a chance to be a part of my podcast for the past couple weeks. Let's talk about the election and talk about a bunch of different things, about being honest and vulnerable with our kids. Creating a space where we can have real, frank conversation. Not that we have to tell our kids our sob stories and our beer tears, right? But we have to lead with vulnerability. We have to create empathy and spaces for the same in our classrooms. And I think I have to practice what I preach, because in the instructional coaching space, you don't come to me to hear my opinion on everything. You come here to kind of get some sort of, you know, validation or some sort of sounding board or maybe even some sort of attaboy that, hey, you got this, now go get this. I try to echo that language in my own coaching and teaching however I can. You know, you're like Dorothy coming to the Wizard of Oz. I'm just the guy behind the curtain. You had a power in you all along. Just click those heels. But I think it's important to recognize that in this era of social media and in social shareability, that there's a lot of times we look at our edu-heroes as if they are these, you know, bulletproof, you know, maybe people from on high. They sit in this world of everything is perfect, everything is curated, everything's figured out for them. And then when we meet our heroes, you know, so often we feel that what we've met is somehow fallen short of that mark. They say to never meet your heroes. Because if you idealize them, as we are wont to do on the Twitter machines, even the curated version of that which we share out is, like, designed to be idealized in some ways. People aren't talking about the fact that they, you know, had food poisoning yesterday. They're not talking about the fact that they couldn't sleep. And if they are, in some ways, perhaps it's an attempt to sort of say, oh, aren't I human? The stars, they're just like us, right? Even this podcast, I feel in some ways it's very virtue signally, and I feel kind of dirty doing it. Because I don't want to make my, quote, brand anything less than authenticity. But while I'm aware that authenticity is my brand, do I do like 5 positive episodes for every 1 negative episode? And I'm sure as classroom teachers we feel the same thing, right? Working with our own students. Hey, what's appropriate for my life to share with my students? What is not appropriate? What is my story to share with my students? And then to remember, well, I'm the adult in the room. They don't come to me to learn everything about my life. They come here to learn about math or science or English or history or languages, phys ed, business classes. So if you're telling stories about your breakups or, you know, losses in your own life or your fears, your financial concerns, they're kids, right? 10-year-olds probably are not going to pay your mortgage for you. And that's important, too, because sometimes, especially in a pandemic, we just need a sounding board. We lack that third space. bars and restaurants being closed down, teachers, as the weather gets colder, have increasingly fewer spaces where they can visit outside of class that would give them a peace of mind, a place to just say, shoot the breeze with colleagues and friends. And as that weather gets colder, well, then you see these same kids every single day, and they become, quote, your kids, right, your students, and, like, quote, your family. And like young brothers and sisters, we have conversations with them, or, you know, maybe our own children, and we forget, it's a natural tendency to forget where those lines exist. Talking about my own lines, in my own work, I do talk about my struggles with mental health in my own classroom, not to exploit it, not to sensationalize it, but to normalize it, especially in a time of pandemic, when I think so many students might need to hear that they're heroes, and I don't pretend to be anybody's hero, but I think it's important that if you have a hero, maybe an educator wouldn't be a bad one to have, right? Forget sports stars for a second. Let's talk about people who actually care about you in your personal life. Now, I know LeBron James gives millions of dollars to charities, and there's all sorts of great people in professional athletics, and I can think of millions of them off the top of my head. That's what they do, right? That's their brand. J.J. Watt, I think, for Houston, like, the work he's done for that city is amazing. But the average rank-and-file person in a school will never meet the average rank-and-file athlete or celebrity, and that's just the way that life goes. There's too many people on the planet. There's too few of them, and there's too many of us. So, if they need something more immediate, I don't do this to be anybody's savior, I don't do any of this to be anybody's hero, but I think there's heroic traits about being a teacher. And to be honest with our students who might be going through whatever, like, let them see a success story who might look or sound more close to home, like that. I struggle with dyslexia. I say the word struggle here, like, because they feel they need to, but the truth is, I've been dyslexic since I was born, and it helped me be really good at school, because I never really thought about struggling with it. I just kind of worked through it. Didn't know that I had the diagnosis until I was in college. And then when I was diagnosed with the Learning Center in college, I was struggling with a computer programming class. I went to the tutoring center, the Learning Center. They got me quizzed up and tested. And they're like, oh, have you ever been screened for dyslexia? I reached out to my mom and dad, like, hey, here's what's going on. And it's at, like, what, 18, 19 years old? My mom and dad are like, yeah, we had you screened when you were 3 and, like, 4. Because we noticed there was patterns and recognitions and issues, and the doctors in the pediatric group were like, oh yeah, he's dyslexic, but we didn't tell you, because we figured that would put you in a position where you would feel like you were othered. And I'm like, are you serious? I could have gotten extended time on my test. I learned differently. That's not bad. They're like, yeah, but we figured you'd tough it out, you'd figure it out. And my mom's an educator, and God bless her. Like, she has nothing but my best intentions at heart. Also, this is like a 30-year-old story, so we can cut a lot of people a lot of slack. But they told me early in life they didn't want me using a learning difference as a crutch. And I think that's so empowering for our kids. When you see people who are dyslexic, who are successful, like, hey, I might learn differently, but I'm not the only person in the world who deals with this. And in truth, I think I'm kind of stronger because of it. I read a book by a professional wrestler, of all people, a woman named A.J. Mendez Lee, or A.J. Lee. She wrote a book called Crazy Is My Superpower. She struggles with or works through bipolar disorder. And what's interesting about what she talks about in her book is she says, it's the thing that I would never want anyone else to have in the whole wide world. But because I have it, it affects the way that I learn, affects the way that I am. And I can channel that and bring that into my personal life, my professional life, and become incredibly successful because I am constantly thinking about the fact that I have to be aware of this thing. And it makes me more empathetic, more kind. I had a chance to watch an awesome interview with Stephen Colbert and Anderson Cooper after Anderson Cooper lost his mother. And Colbert himself has lost his own father and one of his brothers in a plane crash. When they talked, Colbert lost his father and his brothers when he was much younger. He wrote a note, I guess, to Anderson Cooper many years later when Cooper lost his mom. And he said, I hope you can find peace in your time of grief. And he added that line from J.R.R. Tolkien, because Colbert is from a Catholic tradition, which happens to be my faith tradition as well, but he mentions it to Anderson Cooper, and it was a beautiful interview. They talk about grief. He says, from the Tolkien line, he says, you know, remember that what punishments of God, if you believe in God, are not also gifts. And it makes Anderson Cooper well up to kind of hear that and say, do you really believe that? And Colbert says, yeah, I have to. It's the single thing I wish never happened to me. You know, it's the thing that defined and changed my life. But in feeling it, in experiencing it, and going through it, I am that much more human. Not necessarily a better human, but that much more human. Aware of human suffering, empathy, grieving, and loss, of emotion, and mirroring of, you know, what other folks are feeling and going through. And as a performer, as a, you know, an actor, as a comedian, being emotionally attuned to an audience has become the thing that has been his calling card, right? Whether he's playing a satirical character on Saturday Night Live or the Daily Show or on The Colbert Report, or whether he's acting as a late-night talk show host, right? Just in conversation with people to kind of read the emotional tenor of the room. You know, what punishments of God or whatever this great universe has to offer us are not also gifts. For the past 5 years, I've been in counseling. And whether I'm working with, you know, a male counselor or a female counselor, I've had, you know, several. This is a weird week for me because it's my first week out of counseling care. For the past, I mean, what's it, 52 weeks times five, so like 250 weeks or so, I have every week or every second week seen a mental health professional just to check in. But I'm in a time in my life that for the first time, and there's a line, I guess, from Frozen, for the first time in forever, I feel okay. I feel like I've rounded some corners, I've made some breakthroughs, I've made some strides, and I have some coping mechanisms. And it's not to say that I don't deal with those stresses or those struggles, but I will talk to my own students and mention these things. I'm like, yeah, if you guys are going through it, you know, the pandemic is a scary time. It's a time of loss, it's a time of confusion, it's a time of, like, disarray, time of uncertainty, time of pain, time of grieving, time of whatever we're calling the new normal or the new now. It's overwhelming. And to know that there is no shame in having a conversation about, hey, here's what you're working through. Okay. You learn differently than somebody else. That's all right. I'm fine with that. Like, in my own, like I said, faith tradition, God makes no mistakes. You were, that's Lady Gaga as much as it's Jesus, but like, you were born this way. Whatever you are, and you come into my classroom, you are loved, you are safe, and you are okay to go through whatever you're going through. And I think that's important to give ourselves that powerful reminder as educators, because in this pandemic, we feel like we have to have all the answers, right? And in this time where it's this political season, we're like, oh, all these crises, by the time you hear this podcast and release the day before the election, I can't control the outcome of the election. I voted, did what I could. I encourage my friends to vote. I voted my fully formed conscience as best as I have it on this day. I can look myself in the mirror and don't think I'm going to hell or heaven based on who I voted for or against. And I think that's important because I am an adult, but I'm also a learner. And in our classrooms with our kids, we don't pretend to have all those answers. We give them scenarios that we can help them find their way to hopefully righter answers, whether that's with our content or with the conversation or whether the context of what we're learning together. But sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes you have a kid who just reaches out and says, hey, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, can I just say, I just needed an ear today, and it was really great to have you there. And I think that's important because if you, and I'm not trying to say, like, go into business for yourself and become the student's savior and counselor. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not. I'm saying give yourself permission to be empathetic and recognize, hey, guys, anybody here dyslexic? Yeah, me too. That's okay. Anybody here struggle with ADD? Ah, same. Ha-ha. You're not a loser. You're not a freak. You're not a weirdo. Crazy is my superpower. Anybody here, you don't have to ever admit it in front of the whole group, but, like, have you ever been made to feel awkward or embarrassed or ashamed or bullied or different than? Yeah, same. I've been there. I deal with anxiety. I deal with depression. I speak openly about it. And like I said, for the first time in years, I'm about to be in a space where I'm not talking to a counselor every week. And that's not because I'm better than that at all. It's because the issues that I was going to work through, I feel like, equipped with the tools to do it. I talked to my counselor. You guys can be my counseling audience today. Haha. But I think it's important. I said, you know, about anxiety and depression I was struggling with for a really long time, this idea of, like, feeling like I was leaving the house for an international trip and worried that my passport was somehow lost in transit or forgotten at the house. And so there's this paralyzing fear that even if I get to my destination at the airport or onto the plane, at any moment I'm going to realize that that passport has been lost. And then that whole trip grounds to a halt, right? Because then they can't let you leave the country if you don't have a passport. Or if you did land and you lost the passport, they couldn't let you into the country with it. Or if you were in the country and you lost the passport, you couldn't get out of the country. Like, that's where the brain goes. And that's what anxiety will do. And for many of us, especially in the pandemic, it can feel like that, this overwhelming sense of, oh my God, when's the other shoe going to drop? Oh my God, what did I do wrong? Oh my God. And on and on and on we go. And if you're feeling like that as an adult with whatever coping mechanisms you bring to your classroom, how much more is a 12 or a 13-year-old young person dealing with that in a time where they're trying to figure out what the heck is going on? Whether that's because of an election, or because of race riots or protests, or because of a pandemic, or the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a parent, or a breakup of a marriage in their own home, or a grandparent, or just school stressors, you know, like, that feeling of, oh my God, when's this world going to, you know, screech to a halt and, like, throw me off kilter? Yeah, it happens. It happens to all of us in some degree. But, you know, I said to my counselor, you know, when we decided to stop therapy about 2 months ago, we kind of been doing this gradual say goodbye, always with a plan that, like, November 1st would be D-Day. My birthday is this Thursday, and I'm excited to, like, try to turn over a new chapter of season 38 of my life with these strategies I left with. I said, you know, I do feel stressed sometimes. I still feel anxious about things. But I feel that anxious, like, when I'm traveling on an overnight trip, and I thought, maybe I've forgotten my iPhone charger. That level of anxious. It's an overnight trip now, and it's, I don't know, it might be my bag, it might not be. I'll check. If not, I guess I'll charge it in my car or I'll go to Walmart. It's a pain in the butt, for sure. I still deal with it every day. It's going to be a part of me. It becomes partly my superpower, right? I always say in training, and you probably heard me say on this podcast a lot, you know, I plan something. I work on my professional development, or I work on a new product, or a new chapter of a book, a pitch, or a presentation. I say, who's going to hate this, and where is this going to break? I'm constantly thinking about all of the ways that this thing can be improved or iterated, and that ultimately makes it stronger. But yeah, it's like leaving the house without a cell phone charger. It's like, well, that would suck, right? You get to your place and realize you don't have your charger. Oh, no. But there's a difference between a minor inconvenience and an overall, like, grind to a halt. I think that's important because some of our students, it might be a minor inconvenience, but they've never experienced that sort of inconvenience before. And so for them, it might feel like the world is falling apart. I'm saying to give ourselves grace and give ourselves, you know, patience. Giving our students that empathy, that vulnerability, it's a really powerful thing to be as a classroom teacher. Again, it is not our lane, it's not our pay grade to sit there and try to be every student's, you know, counselor. And certainly if they're dealing with issues of abuse or neglect or any sort of at-home violence or risk to themselves or anyone else, you certainly want to take care of those things with the most appropriate professional channels to do so. But this is everyday frustrations and those anxieties, whether it's a learning difference or whatever that can look like in our classroom, you know, giving ourselves the grace to say, hey, you're going through it. It's part of being human. It actually makes you more human. It's okay. You're not wrong. You're not alone. And if there's anything I can do to help, we're just lend a ear sometimes. Know that there's somebody in this classroom who is rooting for you and wants to see the best for you. That's it. Anyways, I hope you're staying healthy. I hope you're staying safe. And I hope this podcast is in small ways like a comfort. I would love to hear your thoughts about it. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter, @mehanedu. Giving yourself grace to, you know, just kind of go through whatever you're working through in this time where it's the start of the second quarter, election cycle, pandemic, and now in full swing with these record cases and things like that. Be well, and let me know how I can help. Thanks again. Bye for now.